You are here. You are holy. We are standing in your glory. I love that line. May we never take for granted that we get to gather as God's people and experience the very Spirit of God. So we are in this series, My Favorite Bible Verse, where each of the people who are presenting are sharing their favorite verse. And my question to you is, do you have a favorite Bible verse of your own? Raise your hand if you're like, I've got a verse, it's my verse, I love it. All right, thank you. There's something about having your go-to verse. Your verse that just hits home for you. Maybe it's about specifically how you're wired. Maybe you're consistently a worrier. You're an anxious person. So you find that verse that says God is there for you. Or maybe you're a person who you worry about, you know, things that are going to happen outside of you. And so your verse is about God's power and control and that he's in charge of everything. Whatever that is, if you don't have a verse, I encourage you, at some point through your reading, when a verse jumps out, grab it, memorize it, hold on to it. My verse has to do with a personal flaw I struggled with years and years ago. But when I was reading across that verse, it just jumped off the page at me. And it's been my favorite verse for a really long time. It's one that probably none of you have highlighted in your Bibles. But when I brought this series to the elders 2 or maybe 3 months ago, Larry asked me, Ryan, what's your favorite verse? And without hesitation, I'm like, it's Galatians 1:10. And that's what I'm going to be talking about with you all today. Because it's just been one that sticks with me through the years. And I'm going to show you how it's not just a verse for me, but it's a verse for you as well. So the reason it applies to me is shortly after Michelle and I got married, I recommitted my life to Jesus. And I decided it was time to dust off my Bible, one that I had barely read since I got it. It was a nice Bible. It was a navy blue leather life application Bible in the NLT. It even had my name on it. I had, you know, this was back when there were Christian bookstores and they could emboss your name on it. And it was a beautiful Bible and one that sat on a shelf and I never read. But when I came back to Jesus, I had this fervor. I wanted to know what was in the Bible for me. And so for the first time, I started reading it, and it was in a translation that made way more sense to me than the translations that I had grown up on. A similar situation happened to Terry a year ago. Terry, I didn't ask you to use this story. But Terry said, I'm reading the Bible, but it's hard to understand. I said, hey, the NLT is a great translation. And I gave him a Bible I had on my shelf. He came back a week later and he's like, it makes so much more sense to me now. If you are reading a Bible and it doesn't make sense to you, let me just stop and say, I have a ton of Bibles on my shelves. I would love to help you find a Bible that makes sense for you. It doesn't have to be any specific translation. It needs to be something that when you read it, you understand it. God's word can only speak to us if we take the time to read it. And if you don't understand it, you're not going to read it. So if that's you, let me help you find that. It changed my life, changed Terry's life. It can change your life as well. So back to my story. I was reading through Galatians, and this verse just jumped off the pages at me. It's Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, where it says in the NLT, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. At this time, when I read this verse, I had been contemplating getting into ministry. I'd been contemplating making a change of careers. And I knew that I'm a people pleaser by nature. I don't like people to be upset with me. I don't like it when people are angry with me. And getting into ministry, it's impossible to please all of you all of the time. And so if my job was just to always be pleasing everybody, I was going to be in a painful position. But I read this, and it's like God was saying, Ryan, don't worry about the people part. You worry about pleasing me, and everything is going to fall into place. I love the reason I felt like this verse was just for me is Hebrews chapter 4 describes the Word of God. It says the Word of God is alive and active, cutting between bone and marrow, between spirit and soul. And it's this concept that when you read God's Word, the Holy Spirit is part of that conversation. It's not just you with a book like reading any other book, but the Spirit of God inside of you is taking those words of God that have been written for all of God's people. And at times, the Holy Spirit will illuminate. That's the idea that something that's just for you pops off the page and you go, wow, this is for me. God's speaking to me. And if that ever happens when you're reading through the Bible, I encourage you, stop. Think about it. Pray about it. Just because you're in the first chapter of the five chapters you have to get through to read the Bible in a year, don't just keep powering through to check off your list. But God's got something to say to you in that moment. This is how reading the Bible works. This is how you find those verses that God wants you to have in your heart for your life. Is sometimes these things happen and you go, wow, why is that just in me? Why do I care so much about this? What are you doing, God? What are you telling me? Pray. Have that moment. Listen. So, this is why this verse is so important to me, because in my moment of call to ministry, it was just a verse for me, and it's been a verse that I keep coming back to through the years, and I have to remind myself, who am I trying to please? Am I trying to please people, or am I trying to live my life in honor of God? And as long as I get that question right, for the most part, I stay within the guardrails. And it's been good for me also in ministry because here I am still in ministry and able to get through it by God's help and strength. But now let's unpack this verse in its content, because obviously it has a special meaning for me, but what does it mean for all of you if you haven't been called to be a preacher? Well, first we have to look at why did Paul write this down? The book of Galatians was a letter that Paul wrote to a group of churches in an area called Galatia. Okay, so it wasn't just to one single church, but there was a group of churches. And Paul was pretty disappointed with them. He was upset because a group of good Jews from Jerusalem had come and said, hey, I know that when Paul came and planted these churches, he told you that you can have salvation with God by putting your trust in Jesus. But we got to remind you, it's putting your trust in Jesus and you have to follow the Old Testament law like all of us Jews. So Paul had heard that they took the message of the gospel and they added to it. And all these people felt tension, like, I thought we just had to have faith in Jesus and now you're telling us we have to eat the proper ways and dress the proper ways and do everything the way the Jews do things, even though the churches in Galatia weren't Jewish. Well, Paul's letter, we know he's upset because he, in every one of his letters, he normally starts with a bunch of blessings and really kind words to the church to really build them up and encourage them. But instead, in the book of Galatians, by verse 6, he jumps in and says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon. Like, very quickly, he gets to the heart of the matter. And he's saying, look, I've got a problem with what you guys are doing. You're turning away from the gospel message. And so what Paul is doing here is he's laying out their mistake and pointing them to the truth of the gospel, knowing that some of these people were not going to be very happy with him. Especially the Judaizers who came and twisted the gospel, they were going to be upset with Paul. And so it's just four verses after he says he's shocked with them that in verse 10 he's saying, look, I know you might not love what I'm writing in this letter. This might be shocking. It might be hurtful. I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please God. I'm trying to make things right. And as a preacher of the gospel, that's so important to him. And so that's why he lays this out. He's defending his motivation for sending the letter and making clear that his motive comes from being a good minister and not trying to just please the Gentiles or just please the Jewish Christians. Like you had these warring factions. He's saying, look, I'm not trying to please any of you. I'm trying to please God. So knowing all of that, here's the big question. What does this message or this passage have to do with you? While you may not be a preacher with the pressure to please an entire church, all of you can relate with the pressure to please other people. It comes in different ways. It's not just always look the same. But sometimes there is one person in particular who is asking you to do something that you know you're not supposed to do, but they're like, look, it would really help me out if. You know, you've got in high school that kid who's like, hey, if my mom calls and says, where were you at midnight last night? Tell her that you were with me. There's a pressure. I need you to cover for me. Maybe you've got a boss who says, yeah, don't worry about that inventory. Don't worry about this. Just put that line in, ignore it. They're basically asking you to just overlook some things that are going on in the books. It's your boss. They could fire you. Are you going to please the person or are you going to please God in that situation? These moments happen where one person, maybe in a relationship, is saying, look, if this relationship is going to keep going in a new relationship, I really want to do this and that. And you're like, but I know this and that aren't great. What are you going to do? Are you going to please God or are you going to please that person? These are simple situations, but we've all fallen into things like this, or maybe you can think of something in your own mind where somebody was saying, look, I really need you to do this, and you knew it wasn't right. And in that moment, you got to be asking yourself, who am I trying to please here? A person or God? And we have to remember in this moment where that verse ends. Could you go back to that verse? It ends with, I would not be Christ's servant. That word servant there means doulos. It really can also be interpreted slave. I wouldn't be Christ's possession is what that word really kind of means. A servant, a slave, a possession. Paul is saying when you commit your life fully to Jesus Christ, you are not your own anymore. Your life is God's. He's the master, you're the servant. And it's great to be a child of the Lord Most High. It's great to be a citizen of heaven. We have all the benefits and all the promises of God when we say, God, I am your servant. I am your possession. We want the blessings, but we also have to understand there is a responsibility in how we live and how we choose to make our decisions going forward. And so you can go to the next slide. So when somebody's asking you to do something you're not supposed to do, understand, you are Christ's servant. Make the decision for him. The second situation where you might be pressured to please people is when there's competing groups of people. Think of an umpire in a baseball game. Every pitch that is thrown is a strike or a ball, and one team is going to like the call, and the other team maybe isn't going to like the call. That's the job of a referee or an umpire. They are judging all these close calls between two teams of opposing, competing groups of people. Some are going to be happy. Some aren't going to be happy. Likely what's going to happen, somebody's going to say, oh, that's just a homer of an ump. You know, they only call it for the home team. There's always this pressure. You know what takes the pressure off of you in a situation where you feel like one group of people wants you to do this, the other group of people wants you to do this? You say, you know what? I'm not picking sides between people. I'm going where God wants me to go. I'm making the decision that God wants me to make. I'm not choosing this relative side or that relative side in this decision. I'm trying to show fairness and justice and love and mercy. And so I'm making this decision. And maybe you don't go along with either of the relatives that want you to take their side. Do you see how this verse, I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to please God. I'm a servant of God, not of any single person. To me, this is why I love the verse. It takes the pressure off of me. If I've got people who are like, oh, why are you siding with them? Why are you always siding with them? I'm like, I'm just trying to read the Bible, listen to the Holy Spirit, talk to other people, find wisdom, and do what I think God would have us do. I'm not trying to take sides. And so it gives you a little bit of cover when you just say, I'm not going to be a people pleaser. I'm going to try to go where I feel God is leading me, do what I feel God wants me to do. And the third category or situation where you're pressured to please somebody is sometimes that you might be mistakenly trying to appease yourself. You have a selfish ambition inside of you, and you don't totally, I mean, you're not like, oh, I'm just going to use God as cover, but sometimes we might mistakenly say, well, God wants this, when really it's what's inside our heart that truly is what wants it. The heart, Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all else. And so we have to understand, there are times I have met with people who have said, God told me to do X. And a whole group of people were like, I don't really believe that. At my last church, there was a woman. God told me to be a missionary to the young people in Haiti. And she had a fiance at the time who's like, I don't feel this at all. And she met with the church leadership. And across the board, we were like, I don't think your plan to just get on a plane and go is a wise plan. You should join a missions organization. You should go through training. You should do all these steps if that's what you feel God's leading you to do. And she said, I don't believe any of you. God told me to do this. She broke up with her fiance. She sold all of her stuff. She moved to Haiti in with a group of like 20-year-old guys who didn't have parents, and she was like the house mom. And within 2 years, she'd moved back to America because things went very, very badly. I look at it from the outside, and I'm like, that just didn't look like wisdom. It didn't work out at all how she anticipated. I know in her heart, she felt like she was doing exactly what God wanted her to do. She could look at this verse and say, look, I wasn't trying to please people. I was trying to please God. But a group of Christians who know her, know the situation, love her, and want what's best for her were saying, that's not lining up with what we see and what we believe the Spirit's telling us. And so this brings us to a specific and difficult thing we have to understand. There are moments, if you feel like God is leading you to do something, say something, go somewhere, make a major shift in your life, and you're like, I'm not going to listen to the people. Take the time to examine yourself, because it is possible that you have gotten it wrong. It happens to good, well-meaning Christians sometimes mishear, and there are sometimes, I'll be honest, I've heard people that I think they're just throwing around, God told me in church, and I'm like, I don't believe that at all. I think you're using that as a hammer. That was as a kid, bad stories. But anyway, examine yourself. The first question is it biblical? Is what I feel like God is asking me to do biblical? And there's two sides to this. Both what he's asking you to do, is that biblical? Go and be a missionary. Absolutely. God is sending people. The how. Go and be a missionary. Do it all on your own. Don't go with any sending organizations, no training, and nobody supporting you with no financial backing. That, to me, doesn't sound like wisdom. That, to me, doesn't sound like it lines up with what I see in Proverbs and other parts of the Bible. That sounds like biblically what she wanted to do is spot on. How she wanted to do it didn't have wisdom. Okay, so we have to consider, is it biblical both in what you're doing and how you're doing it? In who you're siding with in your family and how you are communicating your decision between the warring factions of your family, right? You can side with the right person for the right reasons, but you can do it in the wrong way, and it's just like adding fuel to the fire in that family dispute. We've all seen that before, I'm sure. Is it biblical, both what and how? The second question you need to ask yourself as you examine, am I really hearing God clearly in this situation, is what are my motivations? Who is benefiting from this? Or is this a reaction to something? Okay? If the only primary beneficiary of the decision is you, that may be something that you're not reading the situation right. Or if you're doing it in strong part as a reaction to something, that like something just happened, you got angry, you're upset, you feel like, oh, I've got this inside of me, I'm so angry, that must be from God, he wants me to say this to my spouse. Woo, back it up, tiger, right? Slow it down. What's your motivation? Are you just trying to, God told me to say, or are you processing this out? Are you thinking it through clearly? Are you making sure it's not a reaction? Are you making sure that it's not just for your benefit and tearing somebody else down or doing something that other people are going to financially be helping you out and you're the beneficiary of it? Like, think that through. Might there be selfish ambitions that are clouding how you feel God is leading you? And final question, what do people who care about you and know you and the situation think about it? Okay? This was in that woman who is the missionary. She'd been in the church a long time. A lot of people knew her. They knew her heart for missions. They knew that she'd been on missionary trips. They loved her. But they also knew that she wasn't prepared. They knew that she was jumping the gun. They knew that by not having the support systems appropriately set up, being a missionary becomes very, very hard. They care about her. They love her. And she, though, would not hear it. Because she said, no, I don't need to listen to people, I'm just listening to God. Well, there is a point where we have to recognize if the Spirit of God that's in you is also in me and also in the leadership of the church or in your Sunday school class or in your small group or whatever group that you know you, love you, and want what's best for you, and across the board they're all saying, whoa, I might hold your horses on that. Perhaps the Spirit inside of them is saying something and you're missing it. It's not that you're the one in the right and all of them are in the wrong. God works through community. This is why it's important to be a part of a church and not just a part who comes on Sundays, waves at people, knows a few names, and then goes out. But when you have people who truly know you, then you get to these decision points and you're like, I'm not really sure what to do. I'm feeling like this. And you can talk to a few trusted people that you know are willing to push back on you and say, okay, what do you think of this situation? Tell me the truth. And if you've got confirmation and it's biblical and all these things, then you can confidently say, okay, I'm willing to move forward with this decision, even though I know it's going to be unpopular, it's going to be difficult. So, if you are a Christian, a real, true, follow Jesus with all your heart kind of Christian, you've made that commitment, then your first desire should always be to live for God. To recognize you are a servant of God. Not of others, not of yourself. You are a servant of God. And so that means always, not just when it's convenient, always intentionally choosing God's way. Even when it goes against what somebody else wants you to do, or maybe when it's not popular with one group of people, maybe when you find it difficult, or when your natural inclination says, I don't know if this is it, but you pray and you listen and you say, okay, this is what I need to do. Trust that God will provide as long as you're willing to stick with him. But the caveat here is that you always make sure that you are truly following God's lead. So you take the time to examine yourself. Is it biblical? Are my motives right? Are there other people who say, yes, we agree with you to move forward? If you've gone through all that, then guess what? Follow God boldly, courageously. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Obviously, as Paul wrote in his scripture, let me get it right. I used to have this memorized. I'm a bad pastor. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. To me, that has been a powerful verse. I ask myself, and I hope that you will ask yourself this very question that's on the screens. Who am I trying to please? If you get that question right, you're going to find a lot of success in life. Not because you're amazing, but because you're following exactly where God wants you to be. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?